Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this final day of August in 2021, August 31st. And today we are going to be interviewing one of my favorite guests, and this is a continuation of a series over which we have already had three parts. This is part four of our discussion on a new two-volume commentary on the Belgic Confession, and we have the author of that commentary to discuss not only the confession, but the truths especially that are contained within the confession. His name is David J. Engelsma, certainly no stranger to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience. He's an author and was the professor of dogmatics and Old Testament studies for 20 years at Protestant Reformed Seminary in Granville, Michigan, and emeritus professor since the Synod of 2008. He was the editor of the Standard Bearer magazine from 1988 to 2002, and he is a lecturer and preacher touring in North America and throughout the British Isles on behalf of the British Reformed Fellowship, which is devoted to spread and defend the Reformed faith in the United Kingdom. And today, as I said, we're addressing part four of the Belgic Confession, and it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Professor David J. Engelsma.
I'm appreciative of the opportunity to discuss these fundamental doctrines in this great document, the Belgic Confession, with you once again.
And I will give our audience our email address immediately in the event that they have a question on the Belgic Confession or a general question on the Reformed faith, also known as Calvinism, just a nickname because we attribute the teachings to Jesus Christ and the triune God because these are not merely the teachings of men, although God used throughout history mighty men of God to bring us these truths, including John Calvin. But if you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous. If your question involves a personal and private matter, let's say you are not in a Reformed church, you're beginning to lean more and more towards embracing these truths, or you or at least have a lot of questions that are developing in your mind about these truths, and perhaps your church is so vehemently anti-Calvinist you don't want to identify yourself at this time. You might even be the pastor of a church like that. And I know a number of cases, many cases, in fact, where that was the case, where a pastor who himself was not a Calvinist and pastored a non-Calvinist church eventually became a thoroughly Reformed preacher. And I even know of one man who God used this very program to bring a transformation in the life of of an Arminian charismatic pastor who was so transformed by the program that he actually stepped down from the pastorate of his church, being honest with his congregation about his beliefs. And since they could not tolerate those things, he left the congregation and became a member of an Orthodox Presbyterian church. So God has been using this program, and I am very humbled by that. But why don't we, for the sake of those who missed all of the three previous programs on the Belgic Confession, why don't you give us some of the background we've already addressed in summary form and bring us to the point that we are going to be launching off today on predestination?
First of all, the document that I have written my commentary on and that we're discussing on this program is the Confession of Faith of Reformed churches all over the world, known as the Belgic Confession, because that's where it was written and where it was adopted, first of all, by synods of the Reformed faith as the authoritative standard of the faith of those churches. That document was written in 1561, and it has the credential of being the Confession of Faith, the standard of all the teaching of Reformed churches all over the world. It was written in 1561, and the instrument God used was a man named Guido de Bray. This confession treats all of the major doctrines of the Christian faith in a systematic order, and that's how we have been carrying on our conversation over the past weeks and months. The confession begins with the truth of the revelation of God in Scripture. It proceeds to the confession of the truth of the Trinity, which we have discussed already, including the confession that Jesus Christ is true and eternal God, which is fundamental truth of the Christian religion and distinguishes the true church from all false churches. Then it proceeds, does the confession to a confession of the truth of creation and providence and the creation and fall of men and the historical Adam and the historical disobedience to the command of God concerning not eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That leads on naturally to the truth, the important truth of the original sin of mankind. Confession states that through the disobedience of Adam, original sin is extended to all mankind, and explains that original sin as the corruption of the entire nature and an hereditary disease wherewith infants themselves are infected even in their mother's womb. And then that takes us to Article 16 of the Belgian Confession, which I believe is the point at which we are beginning our conversation today, on eternal election and the accompanying doctrine of eternal reprobation, or the doctrine of predestination.
Now, I recall before the program started that you believed that there was some unfinished business, as it were, with Article 14 and the teaching of free will. Did you want to address that first, or do you want to plunge right into the article on predestination?
I think the doctrine of the incapacity of fallen mankind to perform any good, in contradiction of the popular teaching today, including most evangelical churches, nominally evangelical churches, the condemnation of the teaching of the free will of the sinner is so important that perhaps I could say a few things concerning the confession's condemnation of the theory of a free will of man. The line in the confession, in Article 14 of the Belgic Confession, that addresses that error is this: we reject all that is taught repugnant to this, namely the total depravity of fallen man. That's the issue, total depravity. Concerning the free will of man, since man is but a slave to sin and has nothing of himself unless it is given from heaven. End of quote. And then it goes on with does the article with an extended quotation of many scriptures that expose and condemn the theory of the free will of the sinner. And that's an important aspect to the Belgic Confession. It is biblically based, and the content of the confession strategically with regard to virtually every doctrine that it confesses is a quotation of scripture. The issue is this. If man is totally depraved, as the Reformed faith of scripture confesses, there is in man no ability to will or choose the good and God, or Jesus Christ as he is presented in the gospel. And therefore, the salvation of the sinner cannot be a matter of the choice or will of the sinner himself, as though the free will, allegedly free will of the sinner, determines his salvation. But on the contrary, as totally depraved, every sinner by nature, as he comes forth from his mother's womb, is incapable of choosing the good. And that means that the salvation of some sinners is due to the electing grace of God in Jesus Christ, so that the salvation of the sinner is by grace rather than by the free will of the sinner. And that gives the glory of the salvation of those who are saved to God and to God alone. That issue is of the greatest importance as far as the faith of Scripture is concerned. We are saved by grace, not by the will or by the works of the sinner, so that the glory of salvation belongs to God and to God alone. And that issue is a lively issue still today among Protestants, and even among Protestants who call themselves and consider themselves to be evangelical Christians. I would say that the reigning philosophy or theological position of so-called evangelical churches today is that of free will. God loves every human. Christ died for every human, so they teach. God desires the salvation of every human and makes an offer to every human in the gospel. But whether a sinner is saved by the gospel or not is a matter of his own choice and decision. I need not mention the name of haunted evangelists in the Protestant community whose teaching is, by their own admission, that the sinner is saved by the exercise of his own free will. That, with Scripture, the Belgic Confession condemns in so many words. We reject all that is taught repugnant to this, namely repugnant to the truth of total depravity concerning the free will of man, since man is but a slave to sin and has nothing of himself unless it is given from heaven. And what follows.
Now, one thing, or a couple of things that we should clarify, because this, and nearly every single point of the 5 points of Calvinism, is so misunderstood. People have knee-jerk reactions to these teachings when they hear them, and they begin to formulate, without an open Bible, and without having done the thorough research that should be accompanying any study of this, of these issues, or any issue that concerns God's teachings. They formulate either things in their own minds that are caricatures or just outright false pictures of what Reformed people teach, or they, while not reading great Reformed men of history, they read anti-Calvinistic literature and only have that side of the story from those authors that hate what we believe. But the common thing that immediately comes to folks' minds, and I'm including myself, when I first began to hear about these doctrines that you and I hold precious, I was a person who had been raised in Roman Catholicism, where these things were never heard, not even in a critical examination. And then when I began to explore evangelical churches and visit churches, the vast majority of them were Pentecostal, Charismatic, Church of Christ, all congregations, to my knowledge, at the time that had, you know, rejected these things. So I didn't even know about these things because there weren't, I don't even recall any negative sermons, preached against these things during this time that I was searching and visiting churches. I didn't hear these things until I was at a Bible study at the church where I was eventually saved and baptized, a Reformed Baptist church on Long Island. During a Bible study, I heard my pastor bringing some of these things up, and I began to panic, and I had knee-jerk reactions of my own. But obviously, when it comes to free will, people have this very false idea that is not only foreign to the scriptures, but foreign to what Reformed people have always taught, at least those that are biblically sound and really faithful to what Calvinism means, that this means, according to Calvinists in their minds, that God is forcing men to sin against their will, and when men do good things, he is forcing them against their will also. And that when people reject Christ, it is God who is forcing them to reject Christ. And when they come to Christ, it is God who is forcing them. And the old saying goes, they are dragged kicking and screaming all the way into heaven because God is forcing them against their will. If you could just clarify how these are not only unbiblical concepts, as even our opponents would say that, but they are not even historical concepts when it comes to true Calvinism.
In the thinking of many people, that's a misunderstanding of the denial of free will. On the part of the adversaries, the knowledgeable adversaries of the truth of the Reformed faith, that presentation of our doctrine is a deliberate caricature designed to turn men away from an important truth of the gospel. The truth of, or I should say, the meaning of free will, as I have referred to it and explained it and rejected, the meaning of free will is that the fallen sinner, even though he is fallen and sinful, nevertheless still retains the spiritual capability of accepting Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ is presented in the gospel. And that is because, according to those who hold that position, the fall of man in Adam was not total. Man, as fallen, is not completely depraved in all his faculties, and then completely with regard to every faculty. He still retains the spiritual ability to desire Christ, to choose for Christ, and to commit himself to Christ, apart from any grace of God working in him and causing him to believe in Jesus Christ. And that's what we deny when we deny free will. We do not deny that psychologically the sinner freely does what he does, and we deny categorically that the disobedience of the rejection of Christ, we categorically deny that that's a matter of God forcing him. God does not force him to sin. He sins freely and on his own account. But that's all he can do is sin.
And he loves to.
That's correct. He does what he wants to do, but that's also all he can do because of the fallen condition of the human race through the disobedience of Adam. Adam's sin plunged the entire human race into a condition of total depravity, not partial depravity, leaving him a free will that's capable of choosing for Christ and saving himself. And the effect, the purpose of acknowledging this truth is this, that the sinner is dependent wholly upon God's mercy for believing in Christ as well as for the saving benefits he receives from Christ. When sinners are saved. That's God's doing by the power of his grace that works in him so that now he does have a will that chooses Christ and believes on Christ and recognizes and confesses Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior. His doing that is not a matter of his own volition, so that he can take the glory of saving himself, but the glory belongs to God who has worked in him to save him.
Now, some folks listening think that we are making a big deal over trivial matters, but this is very serious stuff, because those who are thoroughly and logically consistent when it comes to their Calvinism are really the only Christians that give 100% of the glory to God for their salvation. Now, those outside of the Reformed faith, no doubt most of them will say they do, but if you examine what they believe, they really don't. They believe that a dead, or in the words of many non-Reformed people, the seriously sick Christians, or should I say humans, not Christians, they say that they are the ones that are really the arbiter, the final arbiter of where their eternal destiny lies, and they are the ones that throw the switch, as it were, of whether they are going to be welcomed into heaven or cast into hell. So that's a very serious issue. And there are some in the Arminian or non-Calvinist world, because obviously there are many evangelicals and others who reject what we believe who do not want to identify with Jacob Arminius either. But they have become so repulsed and hate our beliefs so much on these matters that some have even gone as far, including Hank Hanegraaff, who is now Eastern Orthodox. He converted to Eastern Orthodoxy. And a man who was considered one of the most brilliant evangelical theologians alive, Norman Geisler, they have said that our understanding of lost sinners coming to faith in Christ as cosmic rape, R-A-P-E. So that's how serious our opponents can take these things. So they obviously are important issues indeed. And we, in fact, if everybody listening will please mark your calendars, I'm going to announce this already because it involves some of the things we're saying. Professor Engelsma will be returning to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio very soon. In fact, not this Friday, but a week from this Friday, September 10th, he will be back in the program addressing the subject of hyper-Calvinism. The hyper-Calvinism that is used as a label by non-Calvinists, which means every single person that believes in the five points of Calvinism. It's ironic why they would even have to use hyper in the name when they believe Calvinism is in of itself seriously flawed. Why they need to throw in a hyper there, I don't know. But hyper-Calvinism is not Calvinism. But we will address that. And you will get to know more about that, God willing, on September 10th.
Let me respond to those who are listening who think either that the issue of free will or the bondage of the will, and by the way, that was central to Luther's reformation of the church in 1517. So when we maintain that the will of the sinner is bound, that is, it's incapable of choosing the good, we are not a Johnny-come-lately church or theology on the scene, but we are simply carrying on what Luther himself described as the central issue at the Reformation of the Church in 1517. Let those who doubt the importance of the matter of the bondage of the will, read Luther's great tome, The Bondage of the Will, which he says that all of the issue and issues of the Reformation come down to that in the end. And he complimented his foe, Erasmus, who hated the truth of the bondage of the will, as much as or more than contemporary opponents. You and you alone have struck to the heart of the issue. All of the truth of the gospel, in a way, centers around that question. Is the will of the sinner bound or free? But now, with regard to the importance of that issue, inasmuch as the error of the freedom of the will robs God of his glory in salvation, there's nothing more important than that issue. Robbing God of his glory is more important than the salvation of sinners. God must be glorified in his great work of salvation, and he is glorified in the matter of the bondage of the will, because that means that all of salvation is his. Now, the churches today and theologians have lost sight of that. The importance for them, the important thing for many, is how we feel. We feel good. And even the all-important issue is our salvation. But important as the issue of salvation is, it's not as important as that God receives his glory in salvation.
Amen.
And I haven't quoted any scripture on this matter, but I want to show listeners who may have questions about this that the Apostle Paul taught the bondage of the will in the book of Romans throughout. But I appeal to his text in Romans 9, salvation is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, or works, but of God who shows mercy. If salvation is not of him that wills, that's underscoring the truth that the will of the sinner is bound, so that salvation cannot in the end depend upon the sinner himself. That's the gospel of Romans 9.
In fact, let's pick up right where we left off here and launch into predestination. When we come back, we have to go to our first break right now. If anybody would like to join us on the air, as I said before, the question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if it's a personal and private matter over which you are asking. And please don't stretch that definition beyond credulity. Please try to give us your first name and city and state and country of residence as much as possible. Don't go away. We'll be right back with David Engelsma in part four of the Belgic Confession right after these messages.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We will both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's G, the number 3, conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
family. We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti. Owner of 3 New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Chris Arns and host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest in buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnton is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the Gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody's ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
When Iron
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmerville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is David J. Engelsma, and we are entering into part four of a discussion we began a number of months ago on his new two-volume commentary on the Belgic Confession. If you have any questions of your own regarding this confession about Reformed theology in general, or about the Scriptures and Christianity in general, about the gospel in general, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, C-H-R-I-S-A-R-N-Z-E-N, @gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And I just want to read to our listeners something by an Anglican listener who always, every time he hears that we are having Professor Engelsma on the program, he gets so excited. He's a thoroughly Reformed and Protestant Anglican. He is not Anglo-Catholic, nor is he a leftist apostate. Thoroughly Calvinistic in his theology, and he has a very high view, to say the least, of Professor Engelsma, Donald Philip Veach, who is the host of Twiss House, T-W-I-S-S-E, on Facebook, which is a Reformed Anglican discussion group named after William Twiss, a very great theologian in both the 16th and 17th centuries, who was very instrumental in the framing of the Westminster Confession. Donald says, one, in regard to our guest, Professor Engelsma, one of the few theologians speaking nationally and widely of merit and depth. With Professor Engelsma, depth and insight triumphs over niceness, softness, and indifferentism. Thank you, Chris. Well, I love that, and I think it's a very accurate description. We are now launching into the predestinate, and I'm assuming you finished everything that you wanted to say about free will before, but if you have, we will launch now into the article on predestination in the Belgic Confession.
The Belgic Confession treats of eternal predestination, election, and reprobation in Article 16, and the subject follows immediately upon the confession's statement of total depravity and a denial of the freedom of the human will. The denial of the free will of the sinner points out that salvation cannot have its origin or source in the sinner himself. He's totally depraved. There's nothing in him that's capable of or interested in or desirous of responding favorably to the preaching of the gospel and to Christ in the gospel. That raises the question, what is the source and origin of all of salvation? And that is answered by the Belgic Confession, as it is answered by the Reformed faith in all its manuscripts and confessions, in Article 16, by asserting that the source of all of salvation is God's eternal election. By eternal election is meant God's choice in eternity of some particular human beings in Jesus Christ unto salvation. And accompanying that decree of the election or choice of some particular individuals unto salvation, wholly by grace, because there's nothing in the sinner that makes him worthy of this election, accompanying this election is God's reprobation or rejection of other human beings, appointing them unto eternal punishment in the way of their unbelief and sin. That aspect of predestination, theologically predestination, has two elements, then, election and reprobation or rejection. The statement of God's eternal reprobation, which is probably the most hated doctrine in all of the teaching of Scripture, the statement of God's reprobation is very brief in the Belgic Confession. It reads as follows: God is just in leaving others in the fall and perdition wherein they have involved themselves. God is not responsible for the sinfulness of those whom he reprobates. It is the fault of the human race in Adam for the fall into sin in which all sinners naturally find themselves.
Yes, very similar wording in the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith. And it's very important because the enemies of Calvinism insist that our understanding of reprobation is, once again, that God is forcing otherwise spiritually neutral men to reject him and therefore be worthy of condemnation, that they otherwise, according to their so-called free will, may have made a decision for Christ, but they say that in our concept of reprobation, God is making sure that they won't because he's forcing them, and this is obviously nonsense. It's not biblical, nor is it historical.
That's correct. And at the same time, this eternal decree does appoint some sinners to eternal damnation in the sovereignty of God. God's sovereignty is at issue in everything we have been discussing this afternoon so far. God is sovereign in his appointing of some particular human beings to salvation who are in themselves no better than the others who are not chosen, and God is sovereign in his leaving others in the perdition into which they fell in Adam, so that the fault of the depravity and perdition is their own, but nevertheless God has appointed them to that eternal destiny, and that is objectionable to many folks and enrages them. And I wanted to mention that in connection with some of our comments earlier, there is misunderstanding of the truth of the denial of the free will of the sinner, and there is misunderstanding of the truth of predestination as confessed by the Reformed faith. We ought to clear that up as we have opportunity, as we're doing this afternoon, I trust. And at the same time, we ought to recognize that the truth that salvation is by the sovereign grace of God and not by the will of the sinner is opposed by many who do understand it full well and rightly, because it ascribes the glory of salvation to God and not to the sinner. Sinful men react negatively against that truth. They want to oppose and deny the grace of God in the salvation of sinners. That is often the explanation of the rage of the enemies of predestination and salvation by grace alone as we experience that today and as the Reformed faith has experienced that always.
We have a listener who is choosing to remain anonymous, and he says, "Hello, Professor Engelsma. I am a first-time questioner and am remaining anonymous because I know I am going to offend the Christians who are most close to me in my opposition to their beliefs, and it will put me in a touchy situation at church. So therefore, I am remaining anonymous. Please forgive me for doing so. Every time I have heard someone get into a discussion against the doctrine of unconditional election, they use the tired, old, worn-out phrase saying, 'You believe that God says eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and arbitrarily picks some for salvation and others for damnation, and it has nothing to do about anything else other than a whim of God, and I was wondering how you can explain that away when I hear that for the millionth time.'"
My response to that, Kennard, is that the saying has as its implied preference that God chooses some people because of some good he finds in them. That's the alternative. I don't agree with the statement or its implication, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. I'll come to that in a moment. But in the mind of those who raise that foolishness as an objection, what ought to be the case is that God chooses some people to salvation because he finds some good in them that distinguishes them from others. That's what they're really opposed to. But in the second, but with regard to the charge itself, God does not choose arbitrarily. God chooses according to his own infinite wisdom. And he has his own purpose in choosing whom he does, which purpose does not result from anything in them, but which purpose is a good purpose in his own thinking and in his own mind. So, I repeat, the alternative in the thinking of those who raise that objection is that God should find something in the sinners whom he does choose to explain why he chooses those whom he does, and there is no difference. Election is a humbling doctrine, not one that praises those who are chosen or indicates that God is arbitrary in his choice. But election is a humbling doctrine. He chooses me, who is as bad as, or whom I know to be worse than, those whom he does not choose. And the explanation for his choice of me is not some arbitrariness of God, but rather the grace of God, who chooses whom he will.
In fact, we have to go to our midway break right now. We're going to pick up where we left off there. And by the way, Anonymous, since you have identified yourself as a first-time questioner, you have received not only the two-volume set, which is Professor Engelsma's two-volume commentary on the Belgian Confession, absolutely free of charge, but you also get a New American Standard Bible since you're a first-time questioner. Compliments of the publishers of the NASB. We want to thank Reformed Free Publishing Association for providing these commentaries, and we want to thank Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, for shipping them out to our winners. Please, Anonymous, give us your full name and address via email, and obviously I will not divulge that information on the air. We have to go to our midway break, and please use this time wisely. It's a bit longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires a longer break in the middle of the show so they can localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, through their own public service announcements. And while they do that, we air our own globally heard commercials. So please use this time wisely. Write down the information provided by advertisers so that you can more frequently respond to them. And also send in your questions to Professor Engelsma at chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnzen at gmail.com. Don't go away. We are going to be back after these messages with more Professor David J. Engelsma.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Why can't we see God? How do we know we picked the right Bible?
Why do we go to church on Sunday?
Parents, if your kids have questions about God's Word and His creation, they would love to read our new Reformed magazine called Ignited by the Word. This magazine is packed full of devotionals, Bible stories, church history, poems, activities, and more to encourage you and kids of all ages in their walk with God.
Created by a team of teachers, ministers, mothers, fathers, and more, we know how important it is to have Christian literature in our homes. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free.
Every
today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written Word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And among the many things available from solid-ground-books.com are the three forms of unity, which includes the Belgic Confession, our discussion today, along with the Heidelberg Catechism and the canons of the Synod of Dort. This is available from solid-ground-books.com in a leather-bound hardback edition. They also have not only books by those that fully affirmed the three forms of unity in the Belgic Confession over the centuries, but they also have the Belgic Confession available on its own if you want to read it in a smaller volume that does not include the other two forms of unity. And they have nothing but the finest in Christian literature from a Reformed perspective dating back to the Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our present day. So go to solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and please always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We really do need solid-ground-books.com to continue sponsoring this program. If they were to cease to do so, we would likely have to go off the air. They are that valuable to us in regarding to their financial support. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, and always mention Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpened Zion Radio. And always remember, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing me and Iron Sharpened Zion Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value. So please visit solid-ground-books.com today and purchase generously. Always mentioning Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpened Zion Radio. Before we return to our guests today, David J. Engelsma, and our discussion on the Belger Confession. This is part four of a discussion we began months ago because of the launching of his new two-volume commentary on the Belger Confession. Before we return to that discussion, just have a couple more announcements to make. I want to thank everybody for your continued prayers for me and my entire family as I have lost my oldest brother, John, at the age of 76. He had been battling cancer and critical stage emphysema for quite a long time, and pneumonia more recently. It was the critical stage emphysema and the pneumonia that took his life, but that was a part of God's plan to take him when he did, and I can rejoice that my brother made, I believe, gave sufficient evidence for me to believe that he was trusting in the finished work of Christ alone to receive the gift of eternal life with him. So I expect to meet my brother one day, and I thank all of you who have been praying for me and my family and for my brother before his parting this earth. Also, please remember to continue praying for his wife, Jan, still in the hospital with COVID and pneumonia. Jan, to my knowledge, is not a born-again believer. And so I'm asking you to let me hear or read from her own lips or pen or keyboard, as it were, a sufficient statement of profession of faith so that I can also have confidence she will be with Christ for eternity when she departs this earth. Pray also for his surviving family, which include not only Jan, his widow, but his daughters, Regina and Patrice, his sons, Eric and JJ, and his siblings, Andrew, Mary, Robert, and myself. We all really appreciate it. Also, folks, if you are a man in ministry leadership and you are able to get to Carlisle, Pennsylvania on Monday, September 27th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., I strongly urge you to rearrange your schedule and do whatever you have to do. Take a plane, train, automobile, or parachute to Carlisle, because I am having my next free Iron Sharpened Zion Radio Pastor's Luncheon. Absolutely free of charge, and not only is it free of charge, there's nothing for sale there. These were the instructions of my precious late wife, Julie, back in the 1990s when we started these luncheons every year. They have now increased to twice a year, and it was her idea, since she knew I had so many friends who were pastors. She said, instead of us exchanging Christmas gifts every year, why don't we use that money to treat your friends who are pastors to a Christmas lunch every year and make sure that they hear a good speaker to encourage them and edify them and embolden them and make sure that everything is free, not only the meal, but make sure that they get a lot of free books, because pastors love books so much, and they even love them more when they're free. And I launched, with my wife's instructions, these luncheons back in the 1990s, and they have grown in size to the point where we require corporate sponsorship, but it is absolutely free to everyone attending. So if you would like to attend, I've got some even greater news, other than what I've just said about it being free. Dr. Conrad Mbewe, is my guest speaker. He is, I believe, and I'm not exaggerating, the most powerful preacher on the planet Earth alive today. He is an uncompromising, powerful, thundering preacher, just unwavering from the truth. And he is infinitely more concerned with obeying and honoring God than appeasing the feelings and sentiments of men. So you will be sure to hear the truth from the scriptures from Dr. Conrad Mbewe, and you will not regret it, no matter what you do to rearrange your schedule and get to Carlisle, Pennsylvania. He is absolutely extraordinary. In fact, if you go to Sermon Audio, you're going to hear some really good sermons by Dr. Mbewe, or even go to YouTube and just type in Conrad, M as in Michael, B as in boy, E as in Edward, W, E as in Edward, Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church of Lusaka, Zambia, Africa, and founding chancellor of African Christian University. That's Monday, September 27th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Bongiorno Conference Center in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Absolutely free of charge. Please register as quickly as possible before we run out of room. Send your emails to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. I look forward to seeing you. Also, folks, if you really love this show and you do not want it to disappear from the airwaves, I am urging you, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card by doing so. And if you prefer snail mail, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can send in checks via your local postal service made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You could also advertise with us as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what I believe. You don't have to believe identically with me. My guest today, Professor Engelsma, have much in common. We also have some disagreements on things. And so I'm not demanding that everyone advertise believes 100% as I do, but you must be promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what I believe. Send your emails to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put advertising in the subject line. I really am in urgent need of your advertising dollars as well. And remember, folks, please never siphon money away from your regular giving to your own local church where you are a member in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please never do that. One of the primary reasons I started this show in 2005 was to be a friend, a platform, an extension, and a helping hand to the local pastor and the local church. I never want to do anything that harms or hinders the local pastor and local church in any way, including financially. So please don't take money away from your own local pastor or church where you are a member in order to give to us. And please don't plunge your family into financial peril if you are really struggling to survive by giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Those two things are commands of God. Providing for church and family, providing for my radio show is not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, you have extra money in the bank collecting interest, you have extra money for recreational and trivial purposes, please use some or all of that money to help us remain on the air. Go to Chris Arnson at go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a local, biblically faithful, theologically sound church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a church that is faithful to the scriptures and to God. I have helped many people in our audience find churches in all parts of the globe, sometimes just within a few minutes of their home, and they didn't even know that these churches existed, or they didn't know that these churches they pass by every day were theologically sound. So I may be able to help you too. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Professor David J. Engelsma. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com, and I also want to personally thank Professor Engelsma for all he did to help me secure the advertising campaign of the new Reformed children's magazine, Ignited by the Word. And I want to remind you of their website where you can order your subscription. I almost said prescription, but that's also applicable since it's medicine for the soul for children. That's ignitedbytheword.org, ignitedbytheword.org. Thank you so much, Professor Engelsma, for all you did to help me get that ad campaign launched. Well, we have come back to the Belgic Confession and our discussion on predestination. Is there anything that you want to clarify from what you said earlier?
Yes, I appreciate the opportunity to do that. Someone had raised an objection to the truth of election by jocularly describing the explanation of election as God's going eeny, meeny, miny, mo. That's really a remark that addresses the question, what is the origin or explanation of God's election of some? The Bible takes us this far regarding the origin and explanation of God's election of some. And that origin in Ephesians 1 verse 4 and other places is his love for them. So that one, when one becomes aware and assured of his election by faith in Jesus Christ, and that's the way to have the assurance of election, then he knows that God chose him because God loved him. And further than that, the Bible does not reveal anything about the explanation of God's election of us. Beyond his love for us, the Bible is silent.
And it has nothing to do with our loveliness or being lovable innately. It has nothing to do with that at all.
That's exactly correct. The Bible does say this about the explanation of his election of us, that it was nothing in us that drew his choice of us or attracted his love for us. And so there's a mystery about election, a healthy mystery. We go as far as the Bible goes in describing and knowing the source of election, and that's his eternal love for us whom he has chosen.
Now, I know that no earthly illustration ever completely satisfies a biblical truth, but could you say that it is, when I'm trying to explain this to somebody, when parents adopt a child, they may go to an orphanage, maybe even overseas, and there are children there who are seriously deformed, or they may be children who have been involved in violent crime, or they are, as the common phrase goes, juvenile delinquents. There's nothing in these children that necessarily would attract most human parents to adopt them. In fact, many might stay as far away from these children as they possibly could get. But there are certain parents who choose to love these children and adopt them. And of course, as I said, a human or earthly analogy is not completely satisfactory because humans always need some external force or thing that compels them to do what they do. God does not need any such thing at all. But could you say that that is somewhere in the atmosphere of what we're saying?
All illustrations limp, but that illustration, it seems to me, is valid as far as it goes and helps to bring out that God does not choose us because of any attractiveness in us at all. And we ought to be content with stopping with that and not try to explain further the origin of his election, because God is incomprehensible in many of his works, and he's incomprehensible in his work of predestination as well, except that we must always know and confess it was not anything in us that drew his love or accounted for his choice of us.
We have
then, with regard to what I would want to say more about the truth of election, I'm going to quote myself from one of the commentaries that I wrote on the Belgic Confession. It struck me the other day that I hadn't quoted myself at all from the commentaries that are supposed to be the subject of our conversation, and that may be appropriate modesty on my part, but I am supposed to talk about the commentary. So here's something that I've written about the truth of election as brought out in Article 16. I quote myself. Article 16 declares the misery of fallen man in order to underscore that God's salvation of fallen, damn worthy, and ruined humans is due solely to the mercy of God, a mercy that has its origin only in God's gracious election, and that is not at all due to the worthiness of these humans. There is no worthiness of fallen humans. End of quote.
We have a listener named Robert in upstate New York. And Robert says that he is a first-time questioner and wants to know, is there a difference between predestination and election?
The Bible uses the word predestination, and the reference in every case is to election. But in theology, predestination includes both God's election of some and his reprobation of others. So in theology, there is a distinction between predestination, which also includes reprobation, and election.
In other words, election never, in theological soundness, is referring to the reprobate.
In the Bible?
Anywhere. I mean, that where it's accurately explained.
Biblically, it's always, predestination is always a reference to election alone. But when theologians and churches teach and speak about predestination, they have in mind both aspects of predestination, the predestination unto salvation and the predestination unto eternal death, election and reprobation.
But what I mean is, when someone refers to election, Reformed theologians have never said those have been, who have been elected to hell, in other words. That's what I'm getting at.
Not with election, no. Election always refers to the saving act of God.
Well, thank you, Robert. And you have also won the two-volume commentary on the Belgic Confession, Compliments of Reform Free Publishing Association. And also Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service will be shipping those two volumes out to you absolutely free of charge. And you're also going to be getting the New American Standard Bible free, since you're a first-time questioner. Compliments of the publisher and compliments of CVBBS.com. The idea, it's kind of interesting how there are many Christians who are not Reformed who say they don't believe in predestination and or election, and that is very sloppy speaking, because if they are believers in the Bible and the inerrancy of Scripture, those concepts are there. They have to believe in them in some way, and of course you do have those who are perhaps more biblically literate and more well-read and yet not Reformed, who admit, yes, God elects and God predestines, but not unconditionally. Doesn't this either unconsciously or consciously render those who are professing evangelicals really on the same side as Rome on this issue? It's kind of interesting to me that there are many fundamentalists, and not all, I know that there are a number of thoroughly Calvinistic fundamentalist Baptists and fundamentalist Presbyterians. Even the landmark Baptists are divided. They have some landmark Baptists are fundamentalist and thoroughgoing Calvinists, and others are fundamentalist and vehement anti-Calvinists. But the fundamentalists that really oppose Calvinism, and even some would call it the doctrine of demons, they also oppose Roman Catholicism and call it a damning religion. And yet, they're on the same side on so many issues when it comes to soteriology, and I'm assuming that's unconscious. Isn't this true and quite disturbing?
To anyone who supposes that a discussion such as we're having on predestination is superficial and unnecessary, the response is, as a believer, what explains your faith? And there's an answer that has to be given to that, and that answer is one of two possibilities. It's because of my choice of Christ, that's the fundamental explanation of my salvation, or it's God's choice of me unto salvation in eternity. In the first case, the one who answers like that is taking the glory of his salvation to himself and robbing God of his glory, or he is ascribing glory to God for his salvation. But this issue and question are inescapable for everyone who professes to believe in Jesus Christ.
They believe, these evangelicals who are not Reformed, yes, they'll say, of course God elects and predestines, but he elects because he knows all things, including the future, and he looks down the corridors of time, as they say, and he knows who is going to choose him. That is putting all of the emphasis on men being made worthy in their minds of their salvation, because they are the ones that God sees choosing him. It really makes men electing God, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. That's probably the majority opinion in the Protestant church world today. That is the fundamental Roman Catholic doctrine. So they are allied with Rome in what Luther called the fundamental issue concerning the Reformation. But they are, in that way, they are ascribing the glory of their salvation to themselves. God chose them because they were worthy, because they fulfilled the condition of faith. And that brings up the great controversy in the church in the 1500s and early 1600s between the Arminians and the Orthodox Reformed. The Arminians taught exactly what you have just described, an election based on foreseen faith and a reprobation based on foreseen unbelief.
We have Mary Teresa in West Babylon, Long Island, New York, and she says, I have heard that Calvinists believe that the number of people in heaven who have been predestined to be there will be a comparative, very tiny handful of people. Is that true?
That the number of the elect is tiny is not true, according to the Bible. It's a multitude that no man can number. But the Bible also indicates that in relationship at any time to the number of unbelievers, the people of God chosen unto eternal life is a remnant, a smaller number. But we leave the number of the saved up to God. It's not our duty to pronounce judgment on that, except insofar as the Bible itself addresses that matter. But it's not a tiny handful of people.
Thank you, Mary Teresa. You've also won the two-volume set on the Belgic Confession. Make sure we have your full mailing address so that cvbbs.com can ship those two volumes out to you. We thank, once again, Reform Free Publishing Association for providing these free copies. We have, let's see, I was just looking at it a moment ago. Okay, we have Christopher in Western Suffolk County, Long Island, New York. And Christopher says that, let's see, he says a lot of things, and I'm trying to cut to the chase. Christopher says, oh, here it is. Many fundamentalists who attack Calvinists say that we are the ones that are far too close to Rome because we honor as a hero, Augustine. But isn't it true that Augustine actually was on the side of the Reformers, of course, prior to their existence, in many ways that are most essential to soteriology and the faith, and that the Catholicism of today, even though it reveres Augustine in their rhetoric, is really far from what he taught in most ways that are the most important ways?
The Reformed faith can be called Augustinian in regard to its teaching of salvation, and particularly with regard to predestination. Augustine developed in his understanding of the Word of God, so that relatively late in his career and ministry, he came to see the truth of the doctrine of predestination, and he came to see it as the origin of all of salvation. Insomuch was that true that Calvin, who was faithful to and developed Augustine's doctrine of salvation, said on occasion that everything he taught he had learned from Augustine, that is, with regard to the doctrine of salvation. The Roman Catholic Church, although it is supposed to revere Augustine as a saint, despises and condemns everything that Augustine taught with regard to the truth of salvation, that is, the truth of salvation by grace alone, so that its adherence to Augustine is empty noise.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go to our final break right now so that I don't have to interrupt you again mid-sentence. And if anybody has a question, please send it now, or as at least soon as possible, because we are running out of time. We do have 25 minutes left or so, but that will go by in a bullet. So if you have a question and you want to get in line, please send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA, and only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with more Professor David J. Engelsma after these messages.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Paul Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland,
and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so, and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything, so we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Anchored in Truth Ministries is the mission arm of Grace Life Church of the Shoals. Based in Alabama, it supports missionaries in over 13 countries around the world. Anchored in Truth is in partnership with 36 church plants, as well as radio stations, theological seminaries, and various programs for unreached people groups. With an aim to glorify God and reach the nations with the gospel, it is a blessing to see how God has used Anchored in Truth in so many different contexts globally as well as locally. To find out more about this vital work worldwide, visit anchoredintruth.org.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
As a mother, I was looking for a magazine that would include devotionals that I could quickly do before school and had theology and doctrine made very simple for children to understand that they could read themselves or I could walk them through. There's tiered content so that you can go to the older group and learn more or go to a younger section and it's even more simple. Join us on our journey in developing our magazine entitled Ignited by the Word, which engages and ignites the hearts of our children and young people in their walk with God. Order Ignited by the Word for your home today at ignitedbytheword.org. Learn more information and subscribe now at ignitedbytheword.org and receive your first two issues free and put good literature in your children's hands.
Welcome back, and remember, folks, please subscribe for your children or your grandchildren or your friends' children to the new Reformed children's magazine, Ignited by the Word, at ignitedbytheword.org, ignitedbytheword.org. Doing that will help remain Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. And once again, I thank Professor David J. Engelsma for helping to launch that ad campaign by putting me in touch with Bernie Camps and others who are involved in that new magazine. That's ignitedbytheword.org. Please tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen and Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We have what is a very touching email from, I believe this must be, yes, it must be one of your daughters, Professor Engelsma. Dear Chris, thanks so much for giving a voice to the truth. I am one of nine of David's daughters. As I tell him often, his favorite. We all feel we are his favorite, which speaks, I believe, to the love of a human father, to the love a human father displays, which reflects the love of our Heavenly Father, not because of anything in myself, as anyone with a child knows. My father is an amazing father, showering his love on all of his children. Thank you for all you do and your ministry, Kara. And I'm assuming the David that she's referring to is you.
She is. I did not put her up to that. I had no knowledge that she was going to do that. I'm as surprised by that as probably you are. But thank you, Kara.
Thank you very much, Kara, and I hope you keep listening to the program and spread the word about it. Let's see. Why don't we, since we only have, we have about 11 minutes left, why don't you let us know if you want to move on from predestination? Do you have anything else that you want to say about predestination before we run out of time?
We could spend 11 more minutes on the doctrine of predestination, but let's move on briefly to the next doctrine in the Belgic Confession, which is the lengthy and rich exposition of the doctrine of Christ. That includes and begins with the truth of the Incarnation, which the Belgic Confession explains as the becoming flesh of the person of the eternal Son of God, flesh including both soul and body. So close is that union of soul and body with the person of Christ that there is in the Belgic Confession what I regard as a striking statement. So close is the union of the person of Jesus with his human nature that that union remained when Jesus' body was in the grave. That is, the person of the eternal Son of God was in the grave in the body of Jesus. That, to my mind, is a striking statement, moving statement. And I have this comment, if I may quote once more from my commentary in Volume 1, concerning what the Confession has to say about the incarnation of the eternal Son of God. From this article of the Confession, the Reformed believer carries away the conviction that his misery of the guilt of sin is great. If what was necessary for his salvation was the wonder of the incarnation of the Son of God. If the incarnation of the Son of God, the becoming flesh of God the Son, was necessary for the salvation of humans, Jesus is the only Savior with none beside, including the sinner himself. And how adorable is the love of God, which is the ultimate source of the incarnation and its salvation. Now I quote the Confession, out of mere and perfect love, giving his Son unto death for us. End of quotation, within quotation, and end of quotation.
Let's see here. We have an anonymous listener again. I am at odds with my church because of some of my beliefs, including some of what you have said today. How can we remain respectful and honorable to the elders above us when getting involved in disagreements over the serious matter that these issues are?
That question occasions, in fact, requires a broad answer, but I will be as brief and to the point as I can possibly be. Differences over the truth of predestination by grace alone are fundamental issues regarding the gospel. They are the issue, for one thing, as I have pointed out, of who is the Savior of man. Is God the Savior, or is man himself the Savior? Is salvation due to God's gracious will in eternity, or is it due to man's will in time? These issues are so fundamental that they demand that one who believes the gospel of grace, very much including the truth of predestination, cannot remain a member of a church that denies that gospel and opposes that gospel. Church membership must be decided on the basis of the pure preaching of the Word of God and the preaching of a gospel, so-called, of salvation by the will of the sinner is not the gospel of the grace of God. But that separation must take place in an orderly fashion. The questioner and others who share that questioner's convictions present their objections to the ruling body of the church with the evidence in Scripture that the gospel of grace, including predestination, is the truth of the Word of God. And if the consistory or ruling body rejects the opposition, then one is called to leave that church and find a true church of Christ that has the marks of the true church. We're not going to get there, and I'm sorry about that, but there's a very important and powerful article in the Belgic Confession, Article 28 and Article 29, concerning the marks of the true church and the calling of every believer to be a member of a true church according to the marks, and not to be a member, to withdraw membership from a church that shows the marks of a false church or the marks of apostasy.
Well, having said that, however, I think a part, maybe even the primary part or reason for the question from our anonymous listener was he's asking for counsel on how to remain, I believe, Christ-like and gracious and humble in the way that he is opposing what his church leaders are telling him. And unfortunately, as you probably know full well, in fact, I'm certain you do, Calvinists have sometimes, not always, sometimes, in fact, often it is slander, but sometimes Calvinists have rightly earned the horrible reputation of being arrogant, nasty, proud, and angry people. We have to be very careful that we don't actually embody the exact opposite character traits of what the doctrines of grace are supposed to do to a human. I mean, we're not supposed to be exalted and proud and arrogant and nasty about what we believe. We are supposed to be totally humbled by them, aren't we?
That's correct, and that's why I emphasized in my response, one may not behave in a disorderly fashion. He must honor the authority in the church, and he must conduct himself, as you point out, as a humble Christian. But that doesn't mean that he's not firm, that he doesn't boldly confess the truth of the gospel to the ruling body of the church when he's objecting to the preaching and teaching of the minister.
And in fact, one might, I think, and perhaps you would agree with this, if you just can't compose yourself and you're constantly being nasty to your elders, ask for their forgiveness and say that I have to move on because I am obviously sinning in the way that I am responding to you, not because of what I believe, but in my manner and my tone of voice or what have you, and just wait for a period of cooling off and so on. You don't want to just keep being involved in ugly shouting matches or anything like that.
No, sir, we must conduct ourselves even with regard to contending for the faith in a Christian manner. But I do want to observe that the bad adjectives that are often applied to Calvinists are unfair and unjust and are part of the hatred of the enemies of the gospel of grace for those who confess the gospel of grace. Those charges are not always correct.
Well, we have a listener. I think this may just be a statement, not a question. We have Julian in Ballymena, Northern Ireland. And I have to enlarge the font on his email because it's very tiny. Incomprehensible that the eternal Son remained united to the human Christ even in death, but surely we cannot say the eternal Son died. Yet we say that only the divine Son could bear the wrath of God on behalf of all the elect. I don't know if you need me to repeat that statement, and if you could respond to it if you don't need me to repeat it.
No, I get the drift of the question or statement, and my response is that the eternal Son of God, as the eternal Son of God, did not die and cannot die because God is immortal. But it is also true that the mystery of salvation and the wonder of the saving act of God can be expressed by the statement, the Son of God, the eternal Son of God, died in the human nature. Now, it's the human nature that died, but the person of the Son of God gives that death its infinite value, so that it's not incorrect to say the eternal Son of God died in the human nature, just as the eternal Son of God was born in the human nature of the child Jesus.
By the way, Julian, if you ever, by God's providence, happen to bump into my old friend Pastor John Greer of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ballymena, Northern Ireland, please send him my greetings. I would appreciate that. Please keep listening to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and spreading the word about it in Northern Ireland and beyond. Well, we are running out of time, brother, so I'm going to just make sure that we give the website of the Reformed Free Publishing Association, which provided these copies of your confession that we are giving away. That's the Reformed Free Publishing Association. And I had that, I think it's RFP rfpa.org, rfpa.org. And, of course, we want to thank Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for shipping our winners out these commentaries at cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. I look forward to interviewing you again, brother, in just a little over a week on Friday, September 10th, here on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on Hyper-Calvinism.
It's good to talk with you, Chris. I'd like to see you in the face sometime. I listened attentively when you described the dinner you were giving. You did not offer a free plane trip.
I wish I could afford to fly you out here, brother. Well, I want to thank everybody who listened, and I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.